chiropractic.
UBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Hour number three of the program here on Thursday morning. And room for you at 508-996-0500. Also on app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I'm pretty excited, and I got to thank my friend Nick Fryer for bringing this to my attention yesterday. I should point out, newly inducted Westport Sports Hall of Famer Nick Fryer. He was just inducted in the Westport High Hall of Fame along with his brother Jacob. Both of them went in together, which I thought was very fitting. Both superstar athletes for the Wildcats, but also went on, Nick has gone on to a great career in sports media. But he's also a huge comic book fan and writes for a comic book site, reviewing comic books, does podcasts on it, and has become very well known in that industry. He shared with me some exciting news. He knew of my love of the DC Comics character Ambush Bug. Very few people know this character. And if they do, they've seen him, but they don't really know anything about him. And but he's my all-time favorite comic book character. And I was always disappointed in the lack of attention paid to Ambush Bug by DC. He is basically their version of Deadpool in terms of the way that he breaks down the third wall and fourth wall, rather, the meta jokes, all that. He was doing that in his comics in the 80s. And it was, I forget what the actual name of the store was. It might have been the Bargain Outlet or something similar. I walked into that store with my parents when I was, I don't know, 10, 11 years old. In Hanover, and they had a bookshelf that had some magazines and some comics on it, and they had this comic called Ambush Bug, and it's number one of a limited series. And I said, well, number one, that's worth getting. I think it was like a quarter or something. And so I bought it, read it, loved it, ended up getting all the comics in the limited series, and then every series that came out after that, I would get. You know, they kept doing a limited series of Ambush Bug, tried to get his appearances in other comics. He started off as a villain. He was an annoyance-type villain to Superman. But then he just started popping up in other places, and when they gave him his own series, he was trying to be a superhero himself, but he just screws things up. But he would make fun of, like, the continuity in DC Comics, and he would point out things that were... He's just very meta. And so I always loved the character, but they just never did anything with him. He's made a few appearances in video games, and he was in an episode of Batman Brave and the Bold. But for the most part, they didn't pay him any attention. He's never received an official action figure release until now. McFarlane Toys, as part of their DC Multiverse line, has announced that they have an Ambush Bug figure, and he comes with his sidekick, Cheeks the Toy Wonder. Incorrectly listed on the site as Cheeks the Wonder Toy, but it's Cheeks the Toy Wonder, who was his partner. It's basically just a baby doll that he found. But I'm so excited that this is actually finally happening. Nobody else cares. And I've been advocating for years that, like, I want to reach out to DC and say, let me write a movie for this character. Let me write a movie for Ambush Bug. It will be your version of Deadpool. It will be huge. Everybody will fall in love with the character like I did. Not that I have confidence that I can write a movie, but something has to be done with Ambush Bug. Anyway, nobody cares, Tim. Move on. I'm excited. Any Ambush Bug fans out there, you'll be excited as well. So we were talking earlier about the story WCVB has about the city of Greenfield now being sued by two people for home equity theft. And that if this lawsuit is found in their favor, then that could have repercussions for other Massachusetts communities that have done the same, including New Bedford. New Bedford had this practice of working with a company that if somebody owed back property taxes, they paid what the person owed, and then they took the person's home and sold it and kept the profits. Mayor Mitchell's put a pause on that with the U.S. Supreme Court finding this unconstitutional last year. There's some legislature in Massachusetts to try to, some legislation rather, in the Massachusetts legislature to ban municipalities and businesses from being able to keep that profit that's made. So you owe $1,500 in taxes. The city or town you live in seizes your property over that money, then sells that property and keeps everything. You get nothing. Because you didn't pay your property taxes, all the investment that you put into your home is gone. And in some cases, these are homes that are fully paid off. So you might have busted your ass your whole life paying a 30-year mortgage for your home. You finally owe it free and clear. You're a little older. Finances are tight. Property taxes go up. You have trouble paying it. Comes down to, do I want to pay my property taxes or do I want to, you know, get the medicine and food that I need to live? You fall behind. The city or town comes along, takes that. You have to move out. Nowhere to go. They sell your property. You get nothing. So all of that time and money that you invested in your home, thinking it would always be there for you, it would be there for your children, whether they were going to live in it or they were going to sell it or whatever it might be. Maybe you were planning on selling it at some point and using that money to live out the rest of your life. Gone. And in some cases, over $1,500. That's what one of the lawsuits in Greenfield is about. So that's what we're talking about here, and that is theft. There's no other way to look at it. Yes, you should have paid the property taxes, but to take all of the value of your home and give you nothing for it is theft. The worst case scenario, in my mind, should be they take it, they sell it, they take what is owed to them, plus maybe a penalty, and then give you the rest of the money. So they're, again, working on legislation that will ban this practice, but as of right now, there's nothing on the books that prevents it. And so this lawsuit, if it's successful for these former homeowners, you're going to see this happen in other municipalities. I know there are people in New Bedford that will pursue it, if they haven't already begun the process of pursuing it independently of what's going on in Greenfield. So keep an eye on this, especially if you are someone or you know someone who is in that situation. I also got an article sent to me earlier today from Not Bad in Oak Bluffs, and this story comes from Reuters. The president of Portugal has said that Portugal must, quote, pay costs of slavery and colonial crimes. So President Marcelo Rebelo de Sousa said late on Tuesday that Portugal was responsible for crimes committed during transatlantic slavery and the colonial era and suggested there was a need for reparations. So anybody that is familiar with how the slave trade worked, Portugal was a major player in that. Portugal trafficked nearly 6 million Africans, more than any other European nation, but has failed so far to confront its past, and little is taught about its role in transatlantic slavery in schools. Instead, Portugal's colonial era, during which countries included Angola, Mozambique, Brazil, Cape Verde, and East Timor, were, as well as parts of India, were subjected to Portuguese rule. It is often perceived as a source of pride. But speaking at an event with foreign correspondents late on Tuesday, Rebelo de Sousa said Portugal, quote, takes full responsibility for the wrongs of the past, and that those crimes, including colonial massacres, had, quote, costs. We have to pay those costs, he said, and there are actions that were not punished, and those responsible were not arrested. Are there goods that were looted and not returned? Let's see how we can repair this. So there's been talk about reparations in different countries, in recent years. But Rebelo de Sousa said last year that Portugal should apologize for transatlantic slavery and colonialism, but stop short of a full apology. He said on Tuesday that acknowledging the past and taking responsibility for it was more important than apologizing. So again, this comes from Reuters. You can check it out at Reuters.com. 508-996-0500 if you want to chime in on that or anything else that is on your mind. We also have coming up very soon, like within the next couple of minutes, not that I gave you any hints, your first cash code of the day. So you want to make sure you have, if you don't have your WBSM app or a pen and paper handy to write that down, you know, you're going to miss out. Even if you don't get a chance to enter it in right now and try to win the $100 hourly prize, hang on to that code because you can enter it in at any point during the day today and still get that entry for the $30,000. So even if you're in the car and you're unable to type in that code, remember it. And when you get to your destination or the next time you hear a code, make sure you add that one in too for 8 o'clock. Because then you will get that entry for the $30,000. And if you've been listening every day, 10 codes a day, as I know some of you have been, you've already got, I can't do the math, a lot of entries. And you're not going to get that those kind of odds to win $30,000 anywhere else. So you want to make sure that you have it on your app, have it ready to go. Have your app downloaded, and then when you get it, go to the Win Cash page. So you want to press the money bag icon in the middle of your screen on the app. If you don't see that, go to your app store, download the update, or just delete the app and reinstall it so that you get the latest version. And you'll see the money bag right there. Click on that, and that's where you're going to enter in those codes. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. I want to talk about the $95 billion foreign aid package.
Mm-hmm.
32 Republicans in the Senate voted in favor. And I mean, obviously, Mitch McConnell, the head of the Senate, Mitt Romney, and John Kennedy from Louisiana, Susan Collins, Lindsey Graham, and many others. I'm not going to bore you with all of that. But we got a uniparty here that's spending all our money. $61 billion to the Ukraine, $34 billion going to Israel and Taiwan. And all of this money we don't have. It's going to be borrowed from the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund at high interest rates. And we can't even get money over here to fix our roads and bridges. And we're spending all this money. Why aren't we talking more about this? These fake Republicans who say they're conservative and trying to save taxpayer dollars. We've given, this is $95 billion on top of $112 billion that we already sent over there to the Ukraine. And how much are the Europeans given to the Ukraine? Peanuts.
Well, I think that, first of all, part of this is we are getting close to the election. And people are in Congress are looking at what the public appetite is for sending this aid over. And the public actually seems to be in support of sending this money over.
Well, many people are in opposition. I'm going to tell you, many people are complaining about inflation, high inflation. You go to the supermarket, prices are going up, everything's going up. And it's because the dollar's tanking because of all this debt. and pretty soon it's going to be like the Weimar Republic. Your dollar ain't going to be worth diddly, you know, and that's why you're paying more and more money now.
So
our dollar's worthless.
So what would have been the answer? To just let let Ukraine languish in this and not give them what they need?
You know how Ukraine became a nation?
How's that?
It was the Bolsheviks. Mm-hmm. Look it up in the history. Vladimir Lenin, he changed the dialect. They were Russians. They were never Ukrainians. And he did that to divide Russia. So this is a big lie. And we're spending billions of dollars in there.
So what you're saying is that we shouldn't be supporting this because Ukraine shouldn't exist because it was part of Russia?
Ukraine has been always part of Russia, if you look at the history. And that puppet they have there, that comedian, and he's in the back pocket of Putin. This is nothing but a scam to destroy our country and take all the money out of our treasury. That's a wild theory. Well, when in a couple of years, when you can't go out and buy anything because everything costs too much, you come back and tell me how great it is.
All right, I will do that. You have a good day. I hope that he finds some positive in his day. I always worry that he's just a little bit too negative. Let's see, how long is my break? All right, I can take another call before the break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
So, quick question. Where did the slaves originally come from?
The ones that we were talking about there?
Yeah.
So, they listed some of those countries. Let me give you the list. Yeah, African countries, but let me give you the list of what they mentioned. Angola, Mozambique, Brazil, Cape Verde, and East Timor.
Right. And I know they use those islands and they house them, but I don't see Africa coming back, Mozambique, and they're apologizing for slavery. They're the ones where the slaves came from. They gave them up, and then the whole slave trade started. They housed them in certain islands. They moved them over in ships to, you know, the United States or, you know, whatever it was called back then, and Europe and everywhere else. But they originally came from, for the most part, Africa. They sold those people. They're the ones that should be apologizing. They're the ones that gave them up, because if you cut the head of the snake off, it's done. If you don't have any slaves to trade or sell, there's no slavery. But we, because we utilize slaves, we're the ones that have to say that. But the whole world did. That was just it. Back in the biblical times, they had slaves. And it could have been the Jews. It could have been everybody else. So all of a sudden now, there's reparations, and we got to say sorry, and Portugal's got to say sorry, and that's BS.
Well, you know, reparations can be a completely different argument, but why are you so against apologizing for it?
Because where do we stop? Where do we stop apologizing for everything that goes on in this country? You know,
what's the problem with apologizing for something that was wrong?
Because what does it get you? It gets you an admission of guilt. And so, oh, by the way, you apologize because you were wrong. So now you got to pay reparations. Do we apologize for killing all the whales that we did years ago when we needed lamp oil and everything else?
Yes, we have.
Evolution, things happen, and then they change from them, right? I hope we apologize for wind another century, because it's a big scam too. You know, windmills out there. I go down the Cape all the time. Windiest days in the world. Maybe one out of those three that are right before the Bourne Bridge work. The one in Fall River is never on. So we'll never be able to see the wind turbines that are going to be off the coast. If they're working or not, we'll never know if they're on or not. Who knows? But we're going to apologize for, you know, ruining the oceans because we put up a bunch of windmills? I think not. That's why apologizing is just, you know, it's meaningless. If it makes you feel better, then great. But what's it going to do at the end of the day?
Well, it makes people who are the receivers of that apology feel better.
Well, then Africa should start apologizing first, in Mozambique and all the countries that you just mentioned, because they started this whole thing.
I mean, many times people were literally kidnapped and taken against their will. It wasn't a matter of it always being facilitated either.
Sure. Why didn't the Africans stop that then? Hey, no, you're not taking our people out of here. No.
What were they going to do? Fight against them? I'm sure in many cases they did. I'm sure in many cases there were entire villages that showed up and tried to fight them off. But how are you going to compete if you're an African village against people who are showing up with guns?
Again, you have an answer for everything. I just simply ask Africans.
Well, you have a complaint about everything.
No, I say you shouldn't apologize. Anyway, have a great day.
Okay. Well, I'm going to apologize to you that you have to see things through such a horrible lens, that an apology offends you so much. that an apology is such an appalling idea to you. Anyway, I've got to take a break. We'll be back in a few moments. And callers, hang on. We will get to you. But right now, Phil is waiting. He wants to give you the news. We'll take your calls on the other side of that. 508-996-0500. Take it away, Phil.
A tabloid editor back on the stand in Trump's criminal trial. President Biden still using TikTok despite a potential ban. And a piece of music history headed for auction.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Former President Trump's criminal hush money trial resumes today in Lower Manhattan. Ahead of the day's proceedings, Trump made some brief remarks to New York City union workers who showed up early this morning to see the former president. He also commented on another big case being heard today by the Supreme Court that will decide Trump's claim of absolute immunity on charges of attempting to overturn the 2020 election.
We have a big case today in the Supreme Court on presidential immunity. A president has to have immunity. If you don't have immunity, you just have a ceremonial president. You won't have a-
Coming up today in New York, former tabloid publisher David Pecker is expected back on the witness stand for a third day of testimony. Pecker has already told stories of how he would help Trump by paying for the rights to negative stories about him and killing them during Trump's 2016 campaign for president. The abortion issue was front and center on Wednesday. First, the U.S. Supreme Court heard a closely watched case over whether Idaho's near total abortion ban conflicts with a federal law requiring hospitals to provide patients emergency care. A decision is expected in June. Later in the day, Arizona's House of Representatives voted to repeal a Civil War-era abortion law that bans nearly all abortions, and the bill now heads to the state Senate. The seven World Central Kitchen workers killed in Gaza will be honored this morning at Washington National Cathedral. The workers were killed in an Israeli airstrike on April 1st while bringing food aid to people in the war-torn Palestinian territory. President Biden's campaign will continue to use TikTok despite the recent bill that could lead to its ban. Mark Mayfield fills us in.
On Wednesday, the president signed a foreign aid package that also laid the groundwork to ban TikTok in the U.S. The same day, a Biden campaign official told reporters that TikTok is still one of the many places we're making sure our content is being seen by voters. The official added they used enhanced security measures on their account. I'm Mark Mayfield.
A U.S. Secret Service agent assigned to Vice President Harris is being hospitalized after showing what's described as distressing behavior Monday. The incident took place at Joint Base Andrews. Harris was not present at the time. According to CBS News, the agent was speaking incoherently, eventually physically provoking another officer. Teen births in the U.S. are at a record low. A new report from the CDC's National Center for Health Statistics says about 3.5 million teen births were recorded in the U.S. in 2023. That's down 2% from the year before and follows a general decline in teen births over the past 10 years. And a Beatles guitar that's been missing for over 50 years has been discovered in the attic of a British house. Julian's Auction says the 12-string Hootenanny acoustic guitar is the same one John Lennon played on classics such as Norwegian Wood. He can be seen playing the guitar in the movie Help. It's expected to fetch over $800,000 at auction in New York and could set a new record for the highest-selling Beatles guitar.
WBSM Sports.
The Bruins beat the Toronto Maple Leafs 4-2 in Game 3. They stay in Canada for Game 4 on Saturday. Celtics lost Game 2 to the Heat 111-101. Game 3 in Miami on Saturday. The Red Sox beat the Guardians 8-0 to even their series. Next game today, just after 1.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Sunny and upper 40s this afternoon. Overnight clear skies will dominate around 30. And tomorrow, plenty of sunshine. Temperatures rebounding a few degrees into the mid to low 50s. Be sure to watch ABC 6 for my full 7-day forecast. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Cecil Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
And welcome back, and let's go right back to the phones because we have some people who have been patiently waiting. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, Tim. How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Yeah, I just wanted to touch base on not the previous caller, but the caller prior to that about sending money over to Ukraine and Israel. The reason why I don't think we should be sending any money anywhere is we need the money ourselves. I mean, I don't know if you realize this or if you've heard about it, but for the first time in the U.S. history, we are literally borrowing money to pay interest only on our national debt. And I don't know if you're familiar with how credit cards work, but now they actually have to put a little asterisk on the bottom in a box saying that if you only pay the minimum payment, so on and so forth, this is what it's going to cost you in the long run, so on and so forth. So, like, we have a big national debt crisis, and I don't think people realize how in trouble we actually are. So to be sending over money to countries, and I understand they may need the money or whatever to defend themselves, but it's kind of putting a Band-Aid on the problem, because what we're doing is kind of just buying time, you know. And the problem is, I don't know if you remember, if you watched the movie, the hostage that we traded for Brittany Griner. The weapons, the money that we send over to those countries usually end up in the hands of, I forget what he was called, like the merchant of death or whatever it was. That's who and where the money ends up, in the hands of those arms traders, so on and so forth. So it's a big scam. Like, you know, we were the previous call prior to that, you were talking about home equity theft. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, that is, like, think about that. We're sending money to countries overseas, but we're letting our people here. Like, who does home equity theft affect mostly? To me, I would think it would be the elderly, right? The people who have lived their lives, paid off their houses, so on and so forth, and now they're just trying to make ends meet to pay off bills and feed themselves.
Yeah, I'd say them, you know, or people who have, you know, fallen on hard times, you know, got into a mortgage and were making their payments and then all of a sudden maybe lost their job or got sick or something and can't afford to keep up with those property taxes. Yeah.
Yeah. So why aren't we creating programs that, like, you know, we can fund that? Imagine that. Imagine paying off your house, owing $1,500 and having the city or town or whatever come in and take it from you over $1,500. Like, think about the stupidity. And that's going on in New Bedford, because there was a house a few years ago on Valentine Street. And that's what happened. It mm-hmm. was paid off. I believe they were, was a couple, two sisters, they were from the Dorchester area, I believe, and they sold their home in Dorchester because they couldn't afford it, right? So they sold it, they cashed it out, they came to New Bedford, they bought their house cash, and then had a little bit of side money to, like, you know, live off or whatever. I believe their issues were they had went through some medical issues, kind of blew through their savings, and then the city of New Bedford came in, they swooped their house, auctioned it off, and they ended up, I don't know if the lawsuit has been taken care of yet, but I know they were suing for the home equity money back. So this is a major problem, and, like, you know, I hate, listen, we can help people. I understand that. But I just don't understand why we're not helping ourselves first and making sure our people here in our country are good, rather than, like, shooting money. I mean, you could go on Google, you could go on YouTube, like, and see what's going on in Ukraine. People are still live. It's not like the war-torn country that, like, you know, they portray on television. There's literally a hopping downtown. Kids going clubbing, shopping at, like, you know, Louis Vuitton and things like that. So, like, we have that, you know, in our heads, it's like, oh, terrible, like, bombings and all that. That's not what's going on in Ukraine. And, like, I really implore people to actually go out there and see. There's live cameras, live feed cameras that you could literally log on to and see what's going on right now, live in action. And just take a look. You know what I mean? Like, we are being bamboozled. And you could see that even with the home equity theft. It's like, living a lifetime of working and saving and trying to make a better life, and then they just come in and swoop it right under you. Like, you know, people need to open their eyes to, like, what's going on, because we live in a pretty screwed up time, man.
All right. Well, I'm going to hold you there. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, have a good day.
You too. 508-996-0500 if you want to respond or if you want to call in with your thoughts. We are going to take a break and be back in a few moments. To the river for that upcoming Everyone's Getting Involved tribute to the Talking Heads. That's the name of it. Everyone's Getting Involved. And it's being put out by A24, whatever it is. But you know that company that makes all the really good movies and things like that. So this is a tribute to the Talking Heads. And Sonny in a cushion had sent in an app chat message saying, hi, ask your callers if anyone remembers the name of the band in the 80s that played at Smuggler's Den who played all Talking Heads. I don't know who that is, but maybe you know. I knew Talking Heads a little bit when I was a kid, you know, because, you know, watching MTV and things like that. And She was on there. Burning Down the House was, you know, videos that were out at the time. But I didn't really know like a lot of their songs until I was in the sixth grade. And my friend Ravi, his family had moved here from India, and he had one of the first American bands he ever heard was Talking Heads. And he became a huge fan, and he shared his Talking Heads cassettes with me. And I would, you know, dub them, copy them over and listen to them. And that's how I really discovered them. But now apparently this new generation will discover their music because this tribute album is out with big stars of today covering Talking Head songs. So it's, I don't know if any of them can wear the big suit like David Byrne can. If you remember the original Stop Making Sense, but the music is phenomenal and locally connected because Talking Heads formed when they all were going to school together at RISD. So that's the local connection to the Talking Heads. And one of the members of the band, her last name is Weymouth. So that's kind of a connection too, I guess, if you want to extrapolate that out a little bit. But that should be a fantastic album. And as they release more tracks from it, I'll try to play them here on the show. But there's only a few that have been released so far. I guess the album doesn't come out until July. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
I remember seeing Stop Making Sense in the theater when it came out. And really nothing like that had been done before. There are certainly movies of live concerts, but the actual way that they arranged that concert by just starting out with David Byrne coming out by himself with an acoustic guitar, and then slowly adding a little furniture every other song, and eventually another band member after a few more songs. And it was so well done. It was great. There were people dancing in the aisles of the theater when it was going on. It was, if you weren't a fan before that, you became one watching it, that's for sure.
Well, and they were certainly a band that was made for that MTV era, because to them, things like what you're describing, the visuals of the performance mattered just as much as the music.
Absolutely. And everything they brought out, brought a memory back from somebody in their in your own life, you know, whether it was this 1940s lampshade, whether it was this big baggy pants or his big baggy shirt or, you know, or his big shoulders that he had on his suit sewn in. It was just the characteristical stuff that he had added to it. It was great. And they were, and plus they were cutting edge music at the same time as well as everything else, the visuals, like you said. And yeah, great stuff. I saw David Byrne and was it St. Catherine, I guess, that performed at the Zyterian Theater about eight years ago, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was a great show as well. Again, completely different than anything else I've ever seen. And it was well done. And a guy like that, a progressive thinker in that way, never really stops thinking about what he's going to do next in his career. At least that's what I believe. And that show was phenomenal. That was really good, I'll tell you. So who's putting this out there? It's a bunch of different people doing his music, doing their music.
Yep, yeah. It's being put out by A24. I think it's called A24. Some people might say A24, but that's the company that makes all those great movies. They're putting out this album. So it's and the name of the album is what was the name of it? It just went out of my head. Everybody's getting involved. So it'll be coming out in July.
Gotcha. And you think about their first song, I think, that came out on the charts was Psycho Killer. Now, up until then, no one would write a song called Psycho Killer. You know, they just wouldn't do it. But they did. And they got away with it, you know.
That's being covered by Miley Cyrus on this album as like a country pop ballad. So that'll be interesting to see if that gets some airplay.
It will be.
All right.
Hey, keep up the good work. Always good to have you on, Jim.
Thanks for the call. Take it easy. And let's see if we can squeeze these calls in. I got one break I got to take before we run out of time, but let's see if I can get these calls in. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. What's on your mind?
That band that played at Smugglers that covered like Talking Heads, that was the Butch McCarthy band.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I think you had a listener that wanted to know the name.
Yes. Yeah. Sonny sent a Snapchat message. Yeah.
Many weekends went down there and listened to them. They were good, yeah.
Well, I'd love to hear some more covers of Talking Head songs. So
there you go.
There should be more bands that are playing them.
I know it. Very good.
Thank you for the call.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
And let's take one more here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi. Good morning, Tim. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. You know, speaking of Talking Heads and Talking Heads covers bands, I'm going to say about 10, 12 years ago, I used to frequent Newport Grand down when that place was open. They used to have cover band, tribute band shows down there. They had some really good tribute bands there. One of the bands they had there, and I only saw them play there once, it was a band called Stop Making Sense. And, you know, obviously covering, they were doing Talking Heads material. And when we went there to see this show, when they came on stage, they were a bunch of kids. I mean, you know, I'm 68 years old. So I mean, I was the Talking Heads fan when they first came out. So, and that's the era of the Talking Heads. But now these kids were crying out loud if they were in their 20s, and I said, how can they even, you know the Talking Heads, you know? So when they started out, they kind of like played the music, the first song or two. It was like, okay, you know what? And I'm like, yeah, this is what I kind of expected of some young people playing Talking Heads music. But then all of a sudden, the lead singer, he was, you know, he kind of like, I don't know what he did. It was, I swear he like channeled David Byrne or something. But they just hit a groove. They were the best tribute band. I mean, they covered the rest of the night. They covered that the Talking Heads music like it was nobody's business. I'm telling you, it was so good. I've never seen any other tribute bands that do that. You know, that any Talking Heads tribute bands. But if you look them up, they were so good. They got to still be around somewhere.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, the band was called The Stop Making Sense. And I'll tell you what, they were really, really good. You know, there's a lot. And, you know, I say this a lot. And I don't want to take too much time, but I say this a lot, that all the old musicians are pretty much going away now. We have to depend on a lot of these the cover bands to keep the music alive, you know.
Absolutely.
And the younger generation, I think that's what it's going to take, you know.
All right.
But But I just wanted to mention that there was a really, really good Talking Heads. That David Byrne is quite an amazing artist, and that was quite a, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
The music of the Talking Heads will live on. It was unique at the time. It was groundbreaking at the time. It was what it was.
It still is to this day. I got to hold you there, though. Thank you so much for the call.
Take care, Tim.
Have a good day. And we got to take this final break. We'll be right back. All right, that's going to do it for me. I'm just about out of time. Chris is coming your way with South Coast Now, so you're going to want to stay tuned for that. Anything that you're covering today, Chris, that you want to mention?
I got the city council meeting from last night.
All right.
Nobody was able to see it because it was only on Facebook.
All right, last night's city council meeting he's going to talk about. And, of course, he'll take your phone calls, 508-996-0500. We'll also have your next cash code coming up a little bit later on. Again, we only have today and tomorrow left for you to enter to win cash. Each time you hear that code, we'll give you 10 codes a day. Each time you hear it, that's a chance to enter it in to win $100. And it's also an entry into the grand prize for $30,000. So you've only got 19 more entries to earn over the next 2 days. So you want to make sure that you get each one of those codes. And of course, Win Cash on WBSM is brought to you by Architect Managed IT Services and Hair and Motion Cosmetology. And if you do end up winning that 30 grand, you know, just in time for summer, maybe you can